Welcome to Beyond the Divide. On this podcast, we're going to cut through the noise to uncover the truth that no matter our differences, race, politics, place, we're all just people united in pursuit of a better tomorrow. Every episode, we're going to confront the narratives that fracture us, from media spin to political games, and we're going to rediscover the common ground that actually binds us. Join us as we challenge the divide, celebrate our shared humanity, and build a future for ourselves, our families, and our nation. I want to start out today marking the 24th anniversary of the most devastating attack on US soil. In the words of the great Alan Jackson, "Where were you when the world stopped turning?" The enduring power of the September 11th attacks is clear. Those of us who are old enough to recall the day remember where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news. Images are etched in our minds like stone. Yet there is an ever-growing number of Americans that have no personal memory of that day, either because they were too young or not yet born. And we must bridge that gap and keep alive the memory of not only what happened, but the fact that we came together. The whole nation came together. I was in high school at the time, and I very distinctly remember walking into Algebra 2. I was the only class, as it turns out, that didn't have the TV on and was glued to breaking news coverage. My teacher was this crazy woman. She was amazing. She was like the best teacher I ever had in high school, but she had this crazy deep southern accent, and she's telling us that she's not going to turn on the TV. She's not going to let us sit and worry and be, caught up in what's happening, because whatever happens, we have to move forward. And we might have to learn to navigate a new reality, but we just need to do the next right thing for the next 5 minutes and then do it again. And in her mind, continuing with normal everyday tasks, our math lesson and assignment being the top of the priority list. And I remember throughout that day thinking that war was going to come very fast. We hadn't had a major conflict in my lifetime. And I was just thinking, like, any minute now, we're going to deploy troops. We're going to go blow up something. Like, the nukes are being prepared. We're going to retaliate, because the US doesn't just stand by and let ourselves get attacked like this in our home country. And I was actually really surprised by how long it took to authorize such things. In hindsight, it really wasn't that long. Within a few days, we had been briefed on weapons of mass destruction, the war of terror, war on terror had begun. We were deploying troops. So we were going to find who did this. We were going to hunt them down. We were going to make them pay. And we were going to show the world that we're not just going to lay down and let us get sucker punched. My future husband at the time was at work, and he recalls not much work was getting done. They were mostly gathered around listening together to the radio, and the thought occurred to him as to why he could still hear airplanes overhead. And I do remember at some point in the day that they grounded all of the flights, but it seems like it took a while before they did that. And the internet at the time was very, very new. Like, this was like back in the day when the internet was like chat rooms that, you just get on to like talk to people from other parts of the country, and it wasn't like used in everyday life like it is now. We didn't carry it around in our pockets. Most of us didn't even have cell phones. The cell phones were, like probably one in five of us had a parent that had a cell phone. It wasn't, every single parent and half of their children had phones. So the majority of our news came from the TV and the radio. I think there's only like 4% of people who said that they actually got the news of this day from the internet. So there are still, to this day, there's images of large groups that are gathered around TVs on street corners, much like the images that we see from World War II of people gathered around their radios. And they televised everything. I remember sitting and shortly after the first airplane had hit and watching what was going on. And then all of a sudden, there's another airplane and it's hitting the second building. And so we're watching this in real time. And these televised images of the death and the destruction and the plane crashes and people were jumping out of windows. And that had a powerful impact. Fear was widespread. Americans were enraged. We demanded justice. We came together and we supported each other and we didn't let our differences divide us. And now here we are at another tipping point. Our leaders and our elites are telling us what we're supposed to think and how we're supposed to feel, and they are exacerbating these differences to divide us. And then they use social media and music and movies and algorithms, and they mirror that divide back at us all day, every day. They pound into us that we're too different, that the other side is dangerous and divisive, and they just blame shift everything. There's this crazy narcissistic attitude that it's always someone else's fault. It's always a liberal's fault, or it's always a conservative's fault, depending on which side that you're on. And algorithms seek you out and they create this bubble around you. So that all you're seeing all the time is how bad the other side is. And it's a myth. And they're perpetuating this myth because it pushes forward their agenda. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. Both sides do this. And we just have this crazy idea that if you're a member of the other side, that there's absolutely nothing that we could possibly have in common. There's no way that I could be like you. And they just pound this into us every single day. We came together on that day. There has never been another day like September 12th, 2001. It didn't matter if you were black, white, green, yellow. The importance of that day surpassed age, gender, geographical, political divides. So now, today, this day of all days, September 11th, 2025. Let us come together once again. Let us overcome our differences and celebrate our similarities because we're still all in this together. We are all people living in the same world with the same goals or similar goals. Some of us want to or already are raising a family. We're chasing the American dream. We want to be able to afford homes. We want safe neighborhoods to raise our children in. We want to enjoy life. We want to be able to travel. We want to be able to have the kind of prosperity that our ancestors dreamed about. We want to be able to lay down at night and not have to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. And even though they tell you how horrible the other side is, it's really not. We're not alone. And we can go beyond the divide that they perpetuate, and we can find each other again. On August 22nd, Irina Zarutska was stabbed to death just outside of a light rail train in Charlotte, North Carolina. There was no media coverage of this event until about 3 days ago. Not a single media outlet. And now, all they're doing is putting their own spin on it. They're highlighting that the killer is in the United States illegally. They're fanning the flames of immigration issues. They're ringing out the breakdown of the justice system. They're focused on systemic issues. He appears to be homeless. He's got mental health issues. He can't be held responsible. Not a single media outlet is talking about the basic fact that murder is wrong. It's a violation of the most basic human decency. Instead, they're just blaming each other. And what the heck happened in our society that no one around helped this young woman? There were people there. They pulled out their phones and they filmed her bleeding to death on the sidewalk. But no one rushed to her to stem the blood flow. No one called emergency medical. No one even went and just held her hand while she died. She died alone, while people around her just filmed her death. What has happened to our society that we would turn to the entertainment factor rather than basic human decency? Murder is fundamentally wrong. It's a violation of the most basic human decency, and regardless of race, background, or any other factor, no narrative spin from elites or politicians changes that core truth. Both sides are weaponizing it for points. They're drowning out the simple fact that a woman was murdered in broad daylight and no one stopped it. And this endless blame game just shifts focus from prevention and accountability to partisan theater. And it perpetuates the idea that we just need to keep to ourselves. 2 years ago, there was a woman, young woman, that was lit on fire in a New York City subway. And the man who murdered her, burned her alive, sat there fanning the flames while people recorded it, and no one stopped him. Bread and circuses. How did we get to this point? This isn't who we are. This isn't who we should want to be. Yesterday, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed during a speaking engagement in Orem, Utah. For those of you who don't know who Charlie Kirk is, he was a very engaged conservative radio host. At the age of 18, he founded the Turning Point organization that spoke to the youth of the nation. He traveled around to college campuses, speaking to young voters, helping people understand that there's a better way, There's a better path forward. During a debate at the Utah Valley University campus, a single shot rang out that pierced Charlie's neck, and he was immediately taken to the hospital. About 2 hours later, it was reported that he was killed. A quick Google search found headlines dominated by Trump ally Charlie Kirk shot. Media outlets are not condemning the shooting. They're simply pointing out with stark clarity that Mr. Kirk is clearly a Trump supporter, a conservative, and a MAGA movement influencer. Leading up to yesterday's events, the legacy media has consistently called Kirk dangerous and divisive, a right-wing activist. If you dig deep and you go to an outlet outside of the US, you'll find a bipartisan support from Governor Gavin Newsom condemning the political violence, but you have to dig deep for it. Why is this? What is the unspoken rule in the media that screams division? They highlight only the points that divide people and they pit us against one another. Why do we allow this to continue? Why are we not standing up and saying enough is enough? No matter what side you're on, it's not enough for us to simply agree that these kinds of things shouldn't happen. We're in search of a better tomorrow for us, for our children, and for our country. Thanks for joining us behind the divide, where we uncover the truth that no matter our differences, we're all just people and we're in this together.